So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want you to go with me to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. That's right after the book of Titus. It's in the New Testament. Still don't help you, does it? Right after the book of 2 Timothy. Yeah, that's one you know. And right before that 2 Timothy, you can guess what's before it. 1 Timothy. Amen. Thank you, worship. Thank you, band. Amen. Hey, as you're turning there to Philemon chapter 1, I want to remind you, I know that Pastor Anthony's already told you, but focus groups start tonight. And man, it's going to be an awesome time. Let me see the hand of anybody who's ever been to focus group. All right, most of you. The ones that don't have your hand up, sign up. Go out there, not right now, I'm about to preach. After service, go out there, sign up, get involved, get in there. Well, Pastor, what is focus groups? Well, focus group, we want to do two things in focus groups. We want you to get fellowshipped, and we want you to get discipled. Wait a minute. Don't you have that backwards? No, I don't. I want you to have fellowship, and then I want you to be discipled. Because you can be discipled without having fellowship. But you can't have fellowship without being discipled. So we want you to get in there, get to know some people. Well, Pastor, what if I get into a group and I don't like it? Well, then change. You can change groups? Yeah, you can. Well, Pastor, what if I get in there and I don't like the people in there? Change groups. What if you get in there and they don't like you? Stay there and aggravate them. Stay there and annoy them. I don't know. Pastor, I'm afraid that some people are not going to like me. Listen, you're never going to get friends unless you're friendly. And you're never going to make a friend if you don't get out of your comfort zone and get into a smaller group, because sometimes it's hard in a church our size. You come in on Sunday morning, you leave, and you don't have that interaction. These are opportunities to get interaction. There's some great groups out there. There are some age-appropriate groups. There are some gender groups. And if you're confused about that, then come see me, and I'll talk to you and tell you which gender you are, and we'll get you into a group. So if that offends you, I apologize not. Philemon chapter 1. They begin tonight at 6 o'clock. They're an hour and a half, 6 o'clock to 7:30. Philemon chapter 1, I'm going to read you three different versions of this same scripture. And which one is this one, Mike? I don't know. That the sharing of your faith may become effective. I think it might be the King James or New King James. That may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That the sharing of your faith may become effective. Now, in the King James Version, it says, the communication of thy faith may become effectual by acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The New American Standard Version says, and I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. And then the New Living Translation says, and I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things that we have in Christ. Now, I gave you three different versions. They all mean basically the same thing. But I wanted to key in on that one verse, that it says three things that I really want to deal with this morning. It says effectual, it says effective, and then the New Living Translation says action. So effectual, effective, action. I like that. Well, the Bible, let's pray. Father, let's just take this word and put it in our hearts and our lives, that we may be forever changed in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. How do you have effective faith? Because how many knows that effective faith is faith that gets things done? Effective faith. There are some people who have faith, but they don't, but nobody knows that they have faith because it's quiet, because they're silent, because nothing ever happens. If you've been around Christianity for any length of time, you've heard phrases like live by faith, walk by faith. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? It doesn't mean that that's the supernatural. It doesn't mean that you're walking on air or you're walking on water. What it does mean is that the faith that God has given you makes you effective in what you believe. It makes you effective in what you do. That you begin to realize that the devil is not stronger than God. It makes you realize that you can have the life that God says you can have. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And if all of us would understand that we ought to desire to have our faith to be effective. It's one thing to have faith. It's another thing to have effective faith. What do you mean? To be able to walk by faith. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Don't point at anybody, but how many people do you know that their faith is not effective enough to keep them on an even keel? They're always down in the valley. They're always depressed. They're always discouraged. Now listen to me. If you serve God, if you live long enough, you're going to have mountain and valley experiences. But if you've been in the valley for 4 years, there might be a problem. If you've been in the valley for 64 years, there's a huge problem. If you've been in the valley, then you're not having your faith being effective. You're letting the devil run roughshod over you. You're not living by faith. But effective faith is to use our faith to obtain the promises that God said we could have by grace. To use our faith to obtain those things necessary for life and even, yes, prosperity. But now, see, the problem is when I say the word prosperity, some people, they just shrivel up. Oh, God. No, I mean, man, I don't know about you, but I want a prosperous life. I don't want a life where I'm always in lack, that I don't have enough faith, I don't have enough love, I don't have enough friends, I don't have enough stuff in my life. I want effective faith. Now, but not all faith is effective. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, simple. Some faith is ineffective. Some faith is passive. Some faith is lifeless, so lifeless that the book of James calls it dead. Well, how do I know which kind of faith do I have? Well, ask this question. The Common English Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 17, in the same way, faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity. Can I tell you that if you had $1 million in the bank, but you didn't know you had it, it's not effective. Why? Because it has not changed your life. If I gave you $1 million today, how many people would that change your life? It would change my life. Matter of fact, you gave me $50, it'd change my life. You give me $25, it'll change my life. Come on, somebody. Pastor, are you kidding? No. It might change where I'm going to go eat lunch at today. I don't know. I'm just saying it'll change your life. But if you don't know that you have it, then it's not effective. You have it, but it's not effective. And you got saved, if you did, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you come to know Jesus and you received salvation, the Bible says that God hath given to every man a measure of faith. And can I tell you that God has given you all the faith that you need, but you will need all the faith that God has given you. And so if you don't know that you have faith, then it is ineffective because you're not doing anything with the faith that you have. Now, the faith that we have, I mean just the, There are some people, you know, I'm not talking about supernatural faith to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I'm talking about faith to live on a daily basis, on an even keel, to live on a daily basis, realizing and recognizing that you're not a second-class citizen, but you're a child of God, and you can walk and have joy and liberty and freedom in the Holy Ghost. James 2:26 says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works or faith without deeds is dead. If you never do anything, nobody knows you have it. Our faith can be active. It can be aggressive. It can be life-giving. And so I want to talk to you for a few moments about how to have effective faith. Y'all was almost in trouble. My watch, I thought, was dead. Point number one is this, for you taking notes. Understand that the Bible pays not attention to silent faith. Well, you know I have silent faith. Nobody knows I have it. Oh, good gracious. Nobody knows I have faith. And I'm not talking about, well, I've got faith because I wear a Jesus lapel pin. I'm so sick of that. People know I have faith because I have a honk if you love Jesus bumper sticker. Some of y'all need to take it off your car. Amen. Somebody asked me, Pastor, why don't you have a Jesus sticker on your car? Have you ever rode with me? I am not going to be a reproach to God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, but having the same spirit of faith according to what is written. Now I didn't tell you to write this down, but write this down. 2 Corinthians 4:13, here's what he said. I believed, therefore I spoke. I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. That's from the New American Standard Bible. So what does that mean, Pastor? It means that everyone speaks what they believe. If you want to know what somebody believes, well, just shut up. They'll tell you. Just listen to them long enough. They'll tell you. Eventually, they'll tell you. You know, I know a friend of mine was at a friend's house, and this friend was using all kind of not good godly language, and he was just throwing out those cuss words everywhere. And then he finally asked my friend, "Well, what do you do?" And my friend said, "Well, I'm a pastor." You know, and all of a sudden, you know, and all of a sudden things changed. You know, because if you will speak what you eventually believe. You even get around religious people and you will speak what you eventually believe, or what you believe will eventually come out in your talk. So everybody speaks now. But here's what Paul was saying. I believe, therefore I spoke. I believe. See, the problem is Jesus curses the fig tree in Mark chapter 11, verse 27, and he curses the fig trees, and the disciples were surprised, and Jesus said, answered saying to them, have faith in God. They were surprised that the fig tree had died. But in verse 22, Jesus answered saying to them, have faith in God. Mark 11, 27 says, have faith in God. In case you didn't catch that, Mark 11, 27 says, have faith in God. Not faith in just your church. Not faith in your denomination. Not faith in your preacher. Not faith in your pastor. Not faith in your mama. Not faith in your daddy. Have faith in God. Not faith in your worship. Not faith in your praise. Not faith in anybody or anything. Have faith in God. And when you have faith in God, then you will speak what you believe. Jesus was saying, if you want this type of faith, this type of results, you must use the right faith. How many of you have ever heard a preacher preach and they give you, you know, 7 steps to this or 6 steps to that or formula to this, and you using it didn't work? Because you had faith in the formula. You had faith in the steps. You got to have faith in God. Nothing else changes having faith in God. Not faith in a church, and I believe that you ought to be in a good church, but I'm not talking about faith in church. Faith in God. Religious faith won't cut it. God faith is what it takes. What is religious faith? It's the faith that you have on Sundays. But you live like the devil Monday through Saturday. Religious faith. Well, I come to church, so therefore. Isaiah 55:11 says, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return unto me void or empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter in which I sent it. Words. I want you to hear me. Words, not thoughts, not feelings, but words. Well, but Pastor, I'm afraid to speak some things. Well, you better speak some things. Begin to speak yourself. Listen, because if you really believe it, you would say it. The problem with some of us is we don't say what the Word of God says because we're not sure we believe it. Or we're just afraid of what people are going to say because you're weak-minded because you believe what the Bible says. Are you kidding me? See, faith is not a feeling. I'm going to say that again. Faith is not a feeling. I'm going to work up my faith. You can't work up faith. That's emotions. Feelings change, but faith shouldn't. Faith is a conviction. Oh, hear me, somebody. Convictions do not change. I'm not talking about surface convictions, but convictions do not change. Give me my next slide, Mike. I think it is. Yeah, we live in a time with more opinions than convictions, which is rough because opinions push. Opinions pull while convictions ground us. The problem with America today is nobody has any convictions anymore. We just have opinions. And opinions can change, and opinions push, and opinions pull, but convictions ground us. Say that, no, I'm willing to walk the plank over this conviction. Oh, some of y'all don't even have a clue what I'm talking about, do you? Listen. Jesus said that God kind of faith is based on the Word of God. And many of us don't, oh, God help me, Jesus. Many of us don't have convictions anymore because we don't know what this says. We don't know what this says, so we let preachers tell us what it says. Do you know that just in the past 10 years, and I'm not going to get on this, so don't be offended. I'm not going to stay on this long. But do you know for years and years, Catholicism, they did not want the parishioners to read the Bible. Matter of fact, there's a word I can't quite bring it into my thoughts right now, but there was something that happened 200 BC, and the Catholic Church didn't want their parishioners to read the Bible, so they just had to believe whatever the priest said. But in the last 10 to 15 years, there was a matter of fact, Pope Benedict began to change the direction of what they were doing and began to encourage their people to read the Bible. Now, I had the opportunity to sit down with the chairman of the American Bible Society and have him speak into my life for about an hour, a couple of weeks ago. And he was telling me that Bible sales rocketed when the Pope told Catholics begin to read the Bible. And as they begin to read the Bible, they begin to see that some of the things that they have believed for years were not in there. You need to quit just relying on what mama said and what daddy said and what your crazy uncle said and your religious auntie said and see what God says, because that doesn't change. He said, my word is forever settled in heaven. My God, somebody hear me. Quit being so wishy-washy. The Bible, James says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, that he shouldn't believe that he will receive anything from God. But you don't have to be double-minded. You can have the convictions that God brings upon your life and stand the test of time and be grounded. And the storms may come and the storms may go, but when it's all said and done, you will still be standing. Why? Because you're grounded.
Hallelujah. Word of God. Not feeling, not thoughts, not intentions, but words. Always word. See, he said, our text says that the communication of your faith may be effectual, may be effective, may have action. That the communication of your faith. How do you communicate your faith? Well, I just live in a way where people will one day find out that I'm saved. Listen, if they know your golf score, but they don't know you're a child of God, then something's wrong. If they know what your, what is that, your sign, what is Scorpio and all, what is that called? Your zodiac sign. But they don't know that you've been signed by Jesus, that you've been sealed to the uttermost, from the guttermost, then there might be a problem. Listen to me, church. Understand that communicated faith is effective faith. And I'm not talking about always walking around. You know, I had a fighter pilot tell me one time. A fighter pilot says, Pastor, how can you tell if there's a fighter pilot in the room? I said, I don't know. He said, he'll tell you. Amen. So I'm not talking about walking around and taunting and speaking King James Version all the time. But if you get into some serious conversation, if you're around people, you got to communicate your faith. You got to speak those words of faith. And especially when you're going through a problem, quit just thinking it. Begin to speak the word of God to your situation so that you will believe that whatsoever you say, you shall have. Oh. Now, point number two, I got to hurry. Oh, good gracious. Number two is this, never lie. Oh, I lost half of y'all right there. Never lie. Well, you know, I just tell a white lie. I didn't know it had a skin color. Never allow a lie to live in your presence. Now, I know somebody's going to go out of here going, well, I can't even joke anymore. Now, I'm not talking about that. But then I'm also not talking about getting caught in a lie and telling, oh, I was just joking. Listen, never lie. If you lie, I want you to hear me closely. If you lie, you diminish your ability to believe. Whew. Boy, that's strong, isn't it? If you lie, you diminish your ability to believe. Because you use words. Listen, when God wanted something to be, he spoke. And God said, let there be light, and there was. And God said, he created the universe by what he said. And he didn't just think, but he said. And you use words that were meant for creation. And when you lie, you use those words that were meant for creation for deception. Your words are meant to create. Even when you lie, you create a deception. I'm sorry, that wasn't even in my notes. That just kind of hit me. Y'all let me digest that for a moment. Good. Good goobly goo. Don't try to interpret that. That wasn't tongues. Glory to God. If you lie, you know you're lying. Now, if you don't know you're lying, you're just wrong. You understand that, right? If you don't know you're lying, you're just wrong. How many of you thought you knew a truth and you would repeat it, but that wasn't a lie? You just was wrong. Hallelujah. I've done it plenty of times. My wife tells me that all the time. You're wrong. The expression of your faith is words. The expression of your faith is words. You speak based on what you believe. And maybe some of us don't speak because we don't believe. Because if we speak, then we may have to back up what we just said. Oh, my Lord. This is a little tough on people this morning. I'm glad y'all swam in here this morning just to get this, huh? Lying is deliberate deception. If you use words to deceive, you have corrupted the expression of your faith. The communication of a liar is worthless. How many times have you heard this said, heard this phrase? If you've been in the South, you've heard it plenty of times. You can tell they're lying because their lips are moving. Mm-hmm. My daddy had a saying that would say, that man would rather climb a tree and tell a lie than to stand on the ground and tell the truth. You remember that one, Molly? That's an old one. And I know people who would rather tell a lie than tell the truth. But what you've got to understand is you've got to use your words for faith, not for lying, because a communication of a liar is worthless. Now, when you lie, you lose confidence in your words. Let that sink in. How many of you don't raise your hand, but how many of you have told a lie so long you believe it? I got a friend of mine, if you're watching, David Turner. The best liar I've ever known in my life. I mean, he was better than Bill Clinton. Great liar. Great liar. I'll tell you how good of a liar he was, or is, because he's still around. I hope you're not doing it anymore, David. If you are, shame on yourself, change. But I was with him on an incident that he was telling some other people about, and he was lying about it and almost had me convinced. And I was there. But I was listening. I was like, what? Wait a minute. Did that really happen? I mean, it was far out there too, fetch. I mean, it wasn't like a little, you know, well, it was 3 inches. No, it was 6. No, it was like way out there. Your words become corrupt. Mark 11:23 says, truly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Says. Did you get it? Do you see that? If he believes what he says, believe what he says, who must believe? The person saying it. What must he believe? What he is saying. This is why lying is so corrosive, because you don't even believe what you're saying. It's impossible for God to lie, church. God ain't gonna lie. God ain't gonna lie. God never lies. So his every word is creative because they've never been deceptive. God has complete confidence in his own words. Here's what he said in Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which was impossible for God to lie. If you build, oh good gracious, I'll give my next one, Mike. If you build your life on truth and allow truth to build your life, it will construct a good life for you. See, that's the problem is we don't build our life on truth. You build your life on a lie and it will catch up to you. Listen to me. David Turner, my childhood friend, David Turner taught school for almost a year without a license to teach. Oh, it gets a little bit better than that. What's that? Where's Steve at? What is that person right below a lawyer? He was a paralegal with absolutely no training. Because we all know everybody but Steve, all lawyers are good liars. So anyway, I'm just saying, I excluded you there, Steve. But here's what I'm saying is, and he built himself a good life being a paralegal. But when the truth came out, it all crumbled. See, you can only live a lie for so long. Whew. Come on, somebody. You can only live a lie so long. So build your, you know, I'm telling you, I've had some people tell me, Pastor, you're a little too transparent. Well, the reality is, I don't have to remember what I told you when I was with you. Come on, somebody. I don't have to remember the lie I told you and which lie I told you. I'm just going to tell the truth, and I'm just going to be who I am and let the chips fall where they may. Come on, somebody. All right, so number three, be focused. Talking about points. How to have effective faith, you got to be focused. Don't lie. Quit lying. But you got to be focused. Now, I could preach a whole series right here because you know that our vision for the church, our church, we exist so that we can be a place where people can find focus for living. And the only reason why people fail is because of broken focus. James 1 and 6 says, but he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded, is unstable in all of his ways. Let me say a couple of things to you real quickly about being focused. You see what you focus on. I want you to hear me. You see what you're focused on. See, there are things that happen all around you, but if you're not focused on it, you don't see it. How many of you have been so focused on a task, you didn't see the stuff happening around you? You didn't see that snake sneaking up on you. I took my brothers out snorkeling. We went scalloping. And my older brother, he had never been before. And so we were out there, and I was trying to get his attention. But I took this stick that I was going to tap him with, and I just scraped his leg trying to get his attention as he was swimming away from me. Let me just say there's two men that has now walked on the water. Peter and my brother Johnny. It was hilarious. I almost choked to death out there in the ocean. I'm going to tell you right now. You see what you're focused on. But, you know, you got, if you've never been, you've got the mask on and you really can't see in the periphery. And you're focused. You're just trying to find scallops. And so something could come up and get you. I found out that there was a little amore, a sucker fish, you know, and that attaches itself to a shark. And he saw a little small one. And he thought it was a small shark. And he said, when I saw it, I was wondering where its mama was. And then I came up with a stick, and he thought mama got him. But anyway, you see what you're focused. You focus on impossibilities. Soon, that is all you'll see. If all you focus is on what's wrong, that's all you're going to see. If you focus on your marriage, on what he doesn't do or she doesn't do, compared to somebody else, that's all you'll see. You got to focus on what's right. Focus on what's good. Focus on your own life. Well, I don't have this. I don't have that. Find something to focus good on. Focus on the goodness of God. Come on, somebody. You focus on it. You focus on differences. Soon you'll not see anything in common. If you focus on your problems, your struggles, your trials, soon hope evaporates. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Fixing means to turn away from other things and look intently at something else. Fixing your eyes. I see problems, let me fix my eyes on Jesus. I see issues, let me fix my eyes on Jesus, who is the author, the finisher, the problem solver in my life. What you focus on, you see, it becomes clear. It begins to pop out at you. Now, I want you to hear this part. Because, you know, our vision is we want to be a church where people can find focus for living. So my next slide, Mike. Lack of focus results in lack. Lack of focus results in lack. You get people on any job, if they lack focus, eventually they're going to get fired because they can't focus on what's right. If you focus on the prize, right? You focus on the prize. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you found an old picture of you back before chest or drawer disease took over? Back before your chest sunk to your drawers. And you put that up on the refrigerator as a focal point so that when you go to get that ice cream, you see that picture and you focus that, no, I don't want that. Pastor, did it work for you? No, I turned the picture around. And number two, I couldn't find one when I was in shape. Nah, just kidding. Lack of focus results in lack. Being a double-minded man, lacking focus, he is unstable in all of his ways and he has no expectation of receiving anything from the Lord. Unfocused faith is ineffective faith. Being double-minded is a heart issue. Did you hear that? Being double-minded is a heart issue. James 4 and 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The fourth point is this, and I'm done. Acknowledge the work done in you by the Holy Spirit. You're not the only one, H.O. Philemon 1 and 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What is in you? You can never be more than you believe yourself to be. Son, I am dropping some truth bombs on y'all this morning. You can never be more than what you believe yourself to be. If you believe that yourself cannot do it, then you won't do it. See, do you remember the 10 spies or the 12 spies that were sent into the Canaan? 10 came back with a bad report. And what did one of them say? You can look at it in the book of Numbers. And he said this. He said, we were grasshoppers in their sight, and so we were grasshoppers in our own sight. We saw them, and then we saw ourselves, and we saw ourselves the way we believed that they saw us. And therefore, what we believe, therefore we do. Now, I'm going to say something that's very controversial. Or it might be. Especially if you don't get my heart and get the whole meaning. You know who people who are continually abused are people who believe that they deserve it. And Pastor, that's harsh. I know it is. That's a little harsh. Because people who believe I don't deserve it, listen, I can tell you right now, if I abuse my wife once, oh, no, no, she will put me in a gator hole somewhere. I mean, she watches enough forensic files, you will never find me. What happened to Pastor? Oh, he just went to be with Jesus. We don't know how or where or when, but he's gone. Because she don't, you know, she told me years ago, you ever put your hand on me. But, you know, somewhere, and you can talk to psychologists, you can talk to therapists, somewhere along the lines, they think they deserved it. When you can never be more than you believe to be yourself. Oh, no, I'm not going to live like this. Now, here's the problem. I mentioned it the other day in revival. Here's the problem. The problem is we've created a generation of arrogance without the ability to back it up. You can do anything. You can. You can have it all. You can. You just can't have it all at the same time. And you can't have it all right now. Come on now. How many know, don't point at nobody. Somebody been married 6 months, expect to have what mom and daddy have, been married 30-something years. You can never be more than who you believe yourself to be. What you believe of yourself is more important than what others think about you. We spend our time, our money, our effort trying to create an image for others to see, right? I mean, prayerfully, hopefully, when you woke up this morning, you maybe, you know, got a shower, hopefully brushed your teeth. You know, most of you fixed up. Not everybody. Now, like I said, not everybody. No. But at least you comb your hair. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because you have an image of what you want people to perceive. You know, I didn't comb my hair to the right. I combed it to the left. Why? That's the way I like it. That's the way I think it looks best. Right? It's what I think covers the most circumference. And I'm telling you, I got a huge circumference to cover. That's right. So you create an image for others to see, but how many of us, what do we do to change the image we see in the mirror? What do we see to change that image? James 1, 23 through 25. The New American Standard Bible says this. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. See, when we look into the Word, we see a new us. I'm telling you, I'm not the man I was 32 years ago. Yeah, I know that physically I'm not the man I was 32 years ago. But I'm not the person on the inside I was 32 years ago. Thank God. Thank God. Because when we look into the Word, we see a new us, a life of endless power, endless possibilities. And then we go into the world and encounter trials, we encounter troubles and tragedies, and quickly forget who God made us to be. This is who I am, not because I don't have trouble. Well, I could do that too if I didn't have trouble. Oh, baby. If you live in this life, you shall have tribulation, is what Jesus said. But be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Forget about the vast power within us when we go out into the world. We forget and neglect the awesome power of our faith-filled words and just sink back into a powerlessness, a hopelessness, and despair. Can I tell you, I don't care how much makeup you put on, it doesn't change who you are on the inside. It doesn't matter. You can put a new coat on, or you can put a suit on, but it doesn't change who you are on the inside. Expensive clothes doesn't improve the image in the mirror. The image in the mirror comes from the heart, and the heart is transformed by the Word. The Word is transformative. It transforms our heart, and our heart transforms the image in which we see in the mirror every day. Of every good thing that is in you by Christ Jesus. To brag on a person's work is to brag on the person. To acknowledge what God has done in you is to acknowledge God. Here's what Proverbs 3:6 says. In all your ways, acknowledge who? Him. And he will perfect or make your paths straight. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Psalms 92 and 4 says this. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for your joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, that we are God's own handiwork. God is working on me. Every head bowed and every eye closed in this room. Maybe you haven't asked Jesus to come into your heart. Maybe you haven't asked him to come and to change your life. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but if that's you this morning, would you slip up your hand? You can put it right back down. I'm not going to ask you to come up front.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.